rattlesnake underneath my step. Oh, 13. Why do you visit me? Eh? What do you want?
Meteorological report.
He's got the weather, whether or not. There it is.
And you're listening to the Meteorological Report. I am Joey Olney, your host, Meteorology. It's a science that I started. It's comedy plus meteorology equals Meteorology. I'm here with co-host Frankie McDonald. We got a full-on show tonight. Of course, we've got all our regular meteorologists back, minus Joe Stover, who's away this week.
Hey, folks. Joe here. Unfortunately, I can't be with the panel today, which breaks my heart. However, I am on vacation. So this is a mini video diary, I suppose. I'm in Winnipeg now after a real nice drive from Thompson, after a very nice train trip, scenic train trip, leaving the snow behind. The snow and ice, I didn't see any snow or ice south of Gillam, Manitoba. Yeah, so I'll be back with you guys in a couple of weeks. Until then, I'm going to enjoy my time down south, and hopefully I'll get to see some of those really cool thunderstorms that everybody gets to talk about on the panel. Meanwhile, I'm talking about how much ice is still on the river. Everybody's talking about the thunderstorms and things of that nature. So anyway, it's getting pretty hot out. I'll tell you right now, it got to about 28 degrees in Winnipeg today, and that's about 8 degrees too hot for this northerner. So anyway, rock and roll, back to the gang.
So that's Gabriel, of course, and Brandon Houck, and Monica Beaulieu, and Peter Glenko are all here. But we also have new guests on, Mike Hodsall from DOA, Vadim Stolyarov down in Trail, and we have bass guy Jack Casey from Montreal. So we'll talk to you all as we get going. The show is being broadcast on CFUR 88.7 FM in Prince George, and 95.9 in Winnipeg, CKUW. Unfortunately, we've lost our Vancouver spot on CFRO because they feature local content as their mandate, and they had people fill that spot. So that's the way it is. Meanwhile, British Columbia is about to get hot, 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 hot. I have my firefighter fitness test coming up. We're going to see record-breaking heat in British Columbia. The pattern setup does remind me very much of a more extreme version of 2017. I'm going to make my fire predictions already the way I was that year. And I'm going to say that when the cold front slams in and we start getting a lot of lightning storms sometime in the next 7 to 10 days, we're going to have some fire stories in British Columbia. But until then, we have stories with Frankie McDonald. Frankie McDonald, how are you doing over there in Sydney, Nova Scotia?
I'm doing great so far. There's a cool old sign in Sydney, Nova Scotia right now. Vancouver, British Columbia is going to get desert like heat, same in Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. I sent you a video of my forecast, like severe heat wave warning for Vancouver, British Columbia. I sent you a video earlier the week. I shot the video myself, and I uploaded it to my YouTube channel. That video is going to be on your show.
This is Frankie McDonald, my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. Attention, citizens of Vancouver, British Columbia. Attention, citizens of Vancouver Island. Attention, citizens of Victoria, British Columbia. Attention, citizens of Nanaimo, British Columbia, Canada. Heat wave warning has been issued for Vancouver, British Columbia. Temperature is going to be higher to 30 degrees Celsius. In Vancouver, British Columbia, it's going to feel like above 30 degrees Celsius. People in Vancouver, You have to be prepared. This is a desert type heat. It's going to hit Vancouver, British Columbia on Monday, June 28th, 2021. Heat wave will be very powerful in Vancouver, British Columbia. It's going to bring really high temperatures coming all the way from southwestern United States and may bring higher temperatures than ever before. It may bring really hot temperatures in Vancouver. It's going to bring high humidity as well. People in Vancouver, be prepared. Have your sunscreens ready. Have your hats ready. Have your light color clothes ready. Head to the beach, go swimming to get cooled off because it's going to be desert-like heat in Vancouver, British Columbia. Heat wave will be so powerful in Vancouver. It may drive all the heat up the Yukon. It's going to bring really high temperatures. Don't walk too far. Stay in the swimming pool to get cooled off. Have your air conditioners and fans ready to keep you cool for Vancouver, British Columbia, and Vancouver Island, including Victoria, British Columbia, the 9-1 surrounding areas, including the west coast of Canada. Heat wave will be very powerful. Stay in the shade and don't get too hot. Stay cool. Drink a lot of water for people living in Vancouver, British Columbia. The heat wave will be very powerful in Vancouver on Monday, June 28, 2021. Best luck to you. People in Vancouver, be prepared for a massive heat wave. It's going to bring extremely hot temperatures in Western Canada, in Eastern United States, too, in Western United States, like Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington. This is not a normal heat wave. This is a desert heat wave. It's going to bring dangerous heat all the way up the Inuvik Northwest Territories. Temperatures up to 30 degrees Celsius up in Inuvik Northwest Territories today.
If you're taking a leak and you happen to notice that your water, your urine is not clear, drink more water. That's a sure way of when I'm hiking, because you end up drinking water all the time, you find out exactly how dry you are. If you're real yellow, drink more water. Frankie, when's the weather returning to nice conditions for you in Sydney, Nova Scotia?
As of right now, it's a warm and humid air and cool and breezy air in Sydney, Nova Scotia, fighting each other. It's a battle zone.
What about all these tropical storms this last 2 weeks?
Colette just bypassed Nova Scotia. They got two tropical disturbances off the coast of Africa. There's so much sandstorms going on in Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Chad, Mali, and Sudan, and all these places in Sahara Desert, blowing all the sand from west coast of Africa, going all the way to the Caribbean.
Do you think that the sandstorms will actually lower the chances of hurricanes as they interfere in the upper atmosphere?
Probably. It's going to lower the chance of hurricanes because sandstorms are so intense in the Sahara Desert. Egypt is getting really stormy time.
So that'll be good news for our East Coast friends such as you and Monica and Peter Galenko. All right, we're going to move on quickly. We'll come back to you, Frankie, because he is the man. But I want to talk to our three new guests.
Smoke sets a bit to go. Can't drive into that prairie snow. It was a real blizzard. That's okay, ain't no desert blizzard.
First, I want to talk to Mike Hodsall out here in Nelson, BC. Mike, he plays in the band DOA, and he's just a hell of a guy. Another band, Circle the Wagons, you may have heard of before. Mike, how are you doing? How's the weather down there?
I'm doing good. Like everywhere else, it's hotter than the hubs of hell out here. I went out hiking yesterday, but it wasn't too terribly hot at that altitude and got my feet in the snow, so that was okay. But yeah, it's really hot out here. We had a fire in Balfour yesterday. I don't know if it's still going, but...
The pictures of the fire looked like a sort of a class 4 fire to me. It was creeping up trees and trying to get in the canopy. So that's worrying for me, but I haven't heard how the night time settled it down. Just tell us quickly about your hiking and what you do. And I also want to hear about DOA's performance that you're live streaming this week.
Well, first of all, with the hiking, obviously I haven't been on tour for the last 15 months. So my other thing that I do when I'm not on tour and playing music is I'm hiking all the time, hiking and snowshoeing and biking. So I've I've done more hiking in the last year than I ever have because I'm away so much, certainly in the summer months. So that's been a real treat. I've tried to hike up every peak I can that I haven't had time to get to. Like, I normally have my favorites that are, you know, within the local area, but, you know, last summer and all this year in general, I've been able to get a little further afield, still within the Kootenays, but just every hike that I've always wanted to get to. So it's been a productive in that sense. But yeah, I love hiking. I can't stop. I can't sit still. So being in a touring band, I'm used to moving. So when I get home, what do I naturally do? But I'm moving all the time, much to the chagrin of my family, who would like to sit down occasionally. But that's the way she goes.
How many different peaks do you think you've hit? My goal was to hit 100 before I died, and I think I'm around 90 now. Of course, return peaks don't count. For example, there's been times I fought a forest fire up at the top of a mountain and was up and down the mountain three times in a day. Only the first time ever counted, not the next 15. So I'm pretty proud of my 90 mark, but I'd love to hear, because you've been all over the Kootenays.
I have no idea how many. I've done lots of repeats as well, but I have no idea how many. All I know is that every time I go to the same things, like I hike up Toad Mountain, which is kind of that triangular shaped mountain you can see from Nelson. It's a real obvious landmark. I've hiked that, I don't know, dozens of times. And every time I go up there, I just can't believe what I'm looking at. So I got to take more pictures. And I think, okay, I'm posting these pictures for the 15th time on Facebook. I'm still crapping my pants because I can't believe how beautiful it is. But not everyone wants to see the same pictures all the time. But yeah, as far as how many, I have no idea. I got a lifetime to go still. I'm only halfway there.
So where can people see this live stream of the DOA show recorded at the Rickshaw Theater?
That's a skill testing question. I think it's on the Rickshaw website, and it's also on the DOA Sudden Death website. But it also, if you're on Facebook, if you go to DOA, the band, DOA, on Facebook, there should be a link there, and then you got to purchase a ticket, and then it's streamed, I think 7 o'clock tomorrow night right through till Sunday. And it turned out really well. It was strange, you know, we haven't rehearsed in 15 months, so it was a real treat to get together and rehearse a couple nights last week, and then to play a kind of show to nobody. It was strange, but the whole year's been strange, so it was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Please stick around. We'll come back to you. And I want to just cycle through everybody here quickly. And right down the road from you is Vadim Solyarov, also been in the mountains a lot. First of all, how is your experience of the weather? And both of you, feel free to check in any week and tell us. We love having these reports across Canada. Trail BC, Vadim, how's your weather already there? I mean, and keep in mind, it's not hot everywhere. I'll give you an example. Here in Wells right now, it's cloudy. I'm wearing a toucan sweater here at 4,000 feet above sea level. The heat wave is coming, though. Is it coming for you, Vadim?
It's already here. I think the heat wave just stays on trail forever. When you go on the government website to check the weather, and it picks up the weather from Warfield Weather Station, which is about 200 meters higher from where I'm sitting right now. Easily every time can add 3 to 5 degrees here in trail, and that's what the real temperature is going to be. They basically are saying we're going to stay in lower 40s. Until sometime next week, and it's going to be clear blue skies. There were some clouds earlier on, and now it's clear, and it's going to stay clear. UV index going to hit 11 tomorrow. Did anyone know double digits exist for UV index before? Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I thought so too. But yeah, trail is awesome. It's hot. The bears are out. Yesterday we had to go and pick cherries from my neighbor's yard because the bear came and ruined a couple of trees. So we decided, like, we should go and get those cherries ourselves before the bear eats them all. Plus, they have a little baby there too. So stay hydrated, my friends. Like, I can go run down the mountain and dip in the Columbia and, like, cool off a little bit, but it's going to be crazy hot here.
So you have heat waves in trail. Do you also have stink waves?
It doesn't stink like Castlegar would, because they have, like, all those mills. We have that fine lead dust that settles here.
So it doesn't stink so much. It's just fine lead dust. So we're going to talk to you later on about your company you started. with you use drones for any number of things. And, you know, this is going to be some interesting stuff. People are interested in about drones. I am. I'd love to have a drone. So stick around and we will come back to you. And normally we'd be already talking to Brandon because I like to go across Canada in order, but because Bass Guy's new on the show, he's been on months and months ago, but not since it's been a radio show. Bass Guy Jack Casey, who runs the Bass Guy Show in Montreal. How's your weather in Montreal, Bass Guy?
It's totally up and down. It's like 30 degrees and then 10 degrees up and down all summer. Like it's unpredictable really. So, well, like all the snow above Nunavut is coming down, and then all the heat from Florida is coming up. And today it's a beautiful day. So hot and then really cold all of a sudden. And then we had like what happened in Czech Republic today. We had an isolated tornado in South Quebec and it actually killed a person. Someone went into their shed to try and hide from it and it killed them, and it went through a town and it destroyed like three houses, or maybe I've got the information wrong, but it was very specific.
A couple days ago, Mascouche, Quebec, was it? Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Also, Bass Guy, that also wasn't Warren too, so that was a problem with the system. Like, it wasn't like a Warren storm, so.
Yeah, is that what you'd call an isolated incident, I guess, or?
Yeah.
The one thing you don't want to be doing is hiding in something like a shed whenever it comes to that. I mean, maybe you saw that at the end of Twister, but that is a poor choice of hiding spots. I mean, not to criticize what someone's going to do in a panic. You're better off just laying straight in the ground in your face than okay. You are putting yourself in a place like that, right?
Apparently, it happened in Czech Republic today. So, same thing.
Hey, guy, you came down Sydney, Nova Scotia in June 2018.
I came to meet you. And I had a question, Joey, for Mike. I don't know who Mike is, but one of my best friends is in a band called the Ripcords and the Prowlers and the Oppressed. Have you heard of any of those band names?
Paul Gott's been on a past episode of the Meteorological Report. I was thinking I should get him back on. He used to be a weatherman for TV in Montreal, right? So I've known Paul since 1994.
My friend John, who I grew up with my whole life, he lives about a block from me. He was in that band for a long time, and he's very involved in the punk scene in Montreal. So
yes. You're taking a few weeks off your show, Bass Guy. How can people find your show when you're normally on? And stick around. We'll talk about it some more with you.
Yeah, I didn't take any time off. Frankie said that, but I was actually just playing right now. I ended my show so that I could be here, and I'm privileged and glad to be here, and nice to meet you, Vladim, and Frankie, and Mike, and Gabriel, and
before you met me, you traveled to Kazakhstan, you traveled to all different countries.
Yeah, I used to travel. I've lived a lot in different countries. I used to move around 2 or 3 years in each country.
Poor Brandon Houck's been waiting. He's always the first person in the waiting room, and he's a star of the show, radio weatherman in Brooks, Alberta. You've heard him on the airways if you're in Alberta. Brandon Houck, talk to us about this heat wave. There's not been much for thunderstorms this week, but there's a story.
Oh, yeah, there is definitely a story today. That's for sure. Over the last couple of days, actually, it's been pretty quiet here across the province, except for the last couple of days where we had just a few little thunderstorms come out of the foothills, out of the mountains. And there haven't really been severe at all, but kind of like bird fart thunderstorms, other than that. But we had a little light show just off to the south last night, so I got to see a little bit of that. And then afterwards, we had a bit of rain last night and a nice gentle rain today. So it's actually been pretty nice. The temperature's around 20 today. And now we were 33 just a few days ago. It's the eighth time we're in the 30s this month alone. And the only times we've been in the teens so far this month is about 3 times. So it's been quite a month so far. And now we're going into this heat wave, which is also known as the heat dome, that's taken over much of Western Canada with an Omega block that's in place, the big blocking pattern here. And it's going to keep this heat dome right over us, over BC and Alberta for basically the remainder of next week. We have temperatures could be possibly breaking all-time record highs in the BC interior, as we mentioned already. But I noticed a couple readings of 45, possibly. We'll see if that happens. If it does, if we get past 45.0 in the BC interior, that will beat the all-time Canadian hotspot record back in 1937 in Yellowgrass, Saskatchewan, which was 45.0. So if it does get beaten, it could get beaten in the Okanagan and Okanagan and the Thompson there.
I believe in you, BC. Yeah. You can do it. And for the record, for everybody listening in Prince George on Saturday, we record this show on Thursday. So you're hearing weather news from Thursday. And of course, people in Winnipeg are going to hear this on Monday. So, you know, you're a few days behind on this news. So this is why it's a week in review weather. It may not be necessarily, but you're going to find out on Monday. What are they going to find out, Brandon?
It's going to be stinking hot. That's what they're going to find out. As we go into next week there. So that's going to be the case. And then high pressure is going to take over and we'll see nothing but sun and giggles. And we're going to be sweating. It's going to be hell all next week.
What's the timeline before a cold front slams in? And what are your predictions for this?
Well, looks like we won't see any type of cold front until, I'd say, maybe after Canada Day. That's going to be a bit of a wait. But if it does happen, and if it does hit Alberta, that might be our next chance for some wild weather here. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. We'll let you know next week on this meteorological report.
Certainly, too, I'm concerned for British Columbia. Like I've noticed on my own 14-day forecast, which keeps changing all the time because models are really in disagreement right now about how this is going to play out. But at one point it said on July 7th, we can expect a nighttime low here in Wells of zero, which isn't unusual for us at this elevation. But to me, that would signal that at some point models are expecting a drastic change. And my concern is for lightning. What do you think about the fire danger situation through the prairies? And of course, you also do radio forecasts often for Kelowna.
Yeah, I was actually on Kelowna today. Did a little hit earlier today talking about all this. But yeah, the fire risk is definitely going to be up there and likely going to be extreme as well. So it probably, probably not a great idea. You probably don't want to be ATVing in 40 degree heat anyways. That wouldn't be too much fun, I don't think, wearing all that gear and everything like that. But if you're doing any campfires, I'd probably best bet to just use campfires for cooking and boiling water. That'd probably be about it. It'd probably be way too hot for a campfire too, with temperatures reaching these kinds of levels of record-breaking highs, etc., as we go throughout most of next week here. And I do expect that fire danger to go up a bit, and there's that risk. I've noticed a couple chances of dry thunderstorms, and that is not good either for later on next week. Those are basically thunderstorms with just lightning and no rain at all, and that's something that BC definitely doesn't need.
Well, this reminds me of 2017. On July 7th, it finally broke out. But for about a week ahead of time, I was looking at long-range forecasts and saying, well, there appears to be a cold front coming. There doesn't appear to be any rain associated with it. You know, and that's when Interior Weather and Wilderness Watchers, the group I run, took off. 2 years ago, so it was at 300 members, and then the next day was at 700 or something like that, because people were like, oh, that guy was right, and people started sharing all my posts everywhere. 2 years ago yesterday, I hit 3,000 members on the group. Yesterday, we hit 6,500. So the group keeps growing and growing. Interior Weather and Wilderness Watchers on Facebook. If you're in British Columbia, please check us out. We'll come back to you again, Brandon. Great report. We got it's what a pleasure to have so many people to get through. Gabriel Berardo, we're in the hospital today, but you're talking.
Well, yeah.
I was thinking that I would like wake up and make a bedroom in the morning.
What are you saying, Gabe?
Post it on social media, please. Show me.
What?
Okay. Post this on social media.
No.
No.
So you'll be dizzy and sleepy for the next like 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah. It's like the nap. I'm ready for the nap. I don't care about the food, but I'm ready.
Okay.
Easy. And I'll get a wheelchair to get out of here because he won't be able to walk.
Oh, got it over with. I'm not saying my English right because I'm in English. There's no way that they put like a soap down my throat. Like, there's no way they did that. What am I even like saying right now? Like, am I like?
I think you might find out later.
Procedure that I had to go through, just to like to check like my throat and everything is all kind of good because. When I was,
it's
of course,
an endoscopy,
I was,
of but it course, doesn't go in your end.
Oh, yeah. You know, it doesn't go in your end. Goes in your mouth, actually. And well, when I was born, I was apparently born with something called Vaptral syndrome. I'm not really sure what it's called, but it has something to do with the throat. That's all I know. I don't know a lot about it. I'm not like a doctor here, guys. I'm not gonna like give you all these numbers and words. I'm just gonna say like it's like something to do with the throat. So then they had to just go in kind of and check all the way kind of down, and they were all, look, I didn't of course feel it because I was sleeping. I wasn't really sleeping. I was kind of like drugged to sleep. Before this, I was really scared, okay? Because first of all, I had to like dress up in this weird blue type of robe thing, and like with these hairnet, and like some weird like things that wrap around my feet. It was almost like a mask for my feet, and I was like, wait, what the hell? Why do I need all this stuff on right now? Like, is something gonna happen to me? Like. Am I going to go in like a freezer or something? I don't know what's going on, but there was like 4 or 5 doctors maybe there and everything. Every single doctor said, hello, how are you? And I just kept on saying, oh yeah, well, I'm great. I gave them all a different answer though. I was like, oh yeah, hello, good. And I was like, the next one, I was like, well, I'm kind of nervous. And I'm like, next one, I was like, well, look, I'm great. And the next one, I was like, oh, you know, I'm not good right now. And then, so
is your throat too sore for a weather wrap this week?
No, it's not. But since I'm watching the game right now, Montreal versus the Knights, then I can't kind of do a wrap. But and then I woke up and I said the strangest things ever. The only, I think, time when I actually did recognize that I was awake is when my dad was holding a phone at my face and he was videotaping me and I was saying, post it on social media, post it on social media, you gotta post it. And then a few hours later, it got like 200 likes and it got all these comments because like people are seeing like me like drugged or like practically high. So of course you're gonna get a lot of likes, right? You're gonna share when I'm high. Oh my god, man. GB's out there, he's doing drugs. He's in the hospital. Oh holy crap, man. Like what the hell happened? COVID? And I was like, No, guys, calm down, guys. It's nothing bad. We just have to go for a scope thing, but that was the hospital story.
Tell us about the weather.
Yes. I'm sorry. We have a boundary setting up, which actually will bring a lot of lows here into Southern Ontario. And will I mean like a lot of lows. So like low after low after low, and like a whole lot of rain with this also too. But the heaviest rain should of course remain north of the GTA. Could be up to 50 to 75 millimeters. With this rain, but then, well, since that we are south of the boundary, that of course goes for where I live. We actually maybe seeing some strong storms heading into this later, of course, this week, heading into next week, and while we have to really, really, really watch that, it will be hot, it will be humid, it will be in the high 20s, possibly the low 30s for some feeling. High 30s feeling into the lower like 40s. So and that's obviously in Celsius, but will be hot and muggy, whole lot of rain on the way, strong to possibly severe storms on the way to Southern Ontario later this week, heading into next week.
That's some ugly looking weather. What's the score, by the way?
Tied at 2 right now. It's crazy game going on, man.
Sure. So as we go over to, we haven't talked to Monica Beaulieu in Bonaventure, Quebec. As we lead into that, what do you know about this tornado that happened this week?
Well, I think that it was a severe thunderstorm. I don't think there was a warning of a tornado. It happened late afternoon. There was a couple of injured people. One man passed. But maximum wind speeds measured between 180 and 200 kilometers an hour. That's consistent with an F2, throwing things blocks away, everything happened like fraction of a second. There was this one lady that said that her house shook and felt like the roof was gonna fly off or want it to come off. But yeah, there was no warnings, and people just kind of quickly ran into their house and just got their door shut, and chaos happened around. Everything got mangled, and you could see that a twister hit everything, is spun up in trees, and about 20 hydro poles need to be replaced. About 100 buildings, they say, got damaged. Some places still don't have power. Anyway, it's got me thinking about safety and what would happen if that were to happen here, because anything is possible when it comes to Mother Nature. But it could have been a lot worse. It'd be interesting to hear the stories over the next couple of weeks.
I learned that there's an average of 6 tornadoes a year here in Quebec, which I was surprised. It was a F2. And yes, the man that passed away, they found him in a field away from his shed. That was kind of sad. But not much. It was just a big surprise. I didn't even know we had tornadoes here. So like I said, I've been back after 28, 29 years. So speak of the game, I'm watching my family across the street. They have a bonfire going and they've got a big projector screen on with the game. And I could watch the game from here. It's Happy Saint Jean Baptiste Day. It's the day that represents summer, the first day of summer for us.
And this guy has the same holiday as you.
Yeah, the Habs are playing right now. It's Saint Jean Baptiste Day, and I can hear fireworks going outside my window right now.
How far from Mascouche, Quebec, are you?
Say a 9.5-10 hour drive.
So a ways.
Yeah, it is quite a ways. But I think Base Guy is about 40 minutes away from there. He's a lot closer.
You had some thunderstorms yourself this weekend.
Okay, so hang on, Joey. Only we just went, like, even the last thunder sounds just finished. Oh, look. Oh, I don't know if you saw that, but the lightning strikes are probably 20 seconds apart, maybe less.
Can you hear the rain? I should have turned the water fountain off, too. Oh,
okay, you can hear. But see? Did you see that? We'll see some lightning. The thunder is just starting to stop. Should be within 20 seconds. We should see something. If the pattern is the same. Okay, maybe it's going to show up over on that side. Oh, it did. Oh, fuck. I just turned when it...
Yes, very exciting. Exciting. And like Base Guy says, it's the weather's been kind of up and down. Hot. I'm turning the air conditioner on half of the day and then turning it off and wearing a sweater the other half of the day. Tomorrow is going to be one of our last really nice day. So I guess I looked at the weather report and there's full week, over a week of rain, straight rain in the forecast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Gabriel agrees.
Gabriel.
You're listening to the Community Meteorological Report on 88.7 FM CFUR in Prince George and 95.9 CKUW in Winnipeg. And last person we haven't talked to yet in Virginia Beach. And then we're going to come back and talk to our featured guest, Peter Galenko. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing very well this week. The weather's been lovely out here. And I was actually in Charlottesville earlier this week. And Charlottesville is a lovely town. We've had gorgeous weather here. Getting my tan on a little bit, enjoying the beach and laying by the pool, all good stuff. And then also, for our new guest this week from the band DOA, I want to thank him for not dying before he arrived to this show, because the band knows that on arrival. I thought it was kind of funny.
It's got a bad track record, unfortunately.
How so? You joined DOA maybe 6-7 years ago, was it?
Actually, it's 7 years ago this week.
Nice.
And I've played about upwards of 350 shows with a band, but obviously we haven't played in the last over a year, almost year and a half now. So about 350 shows in the first 6 years. It's been fantastic.
You have played with the Ripcords before.
Not since I've been in the band, but definitely DOA has played with the Ripcords, yeah.
Not with Circle the Wagons?
You know, maybe. Now that I think about it, maybe. I don't know. It's a lot of shows over the years. A couple thousand shows I've played. You start to lose track of where you've been and when it was and which band it was.
And now that I'm sober, I'd be interested to see what my life on the road would be like, how it would be different.
Well, it is different because, as you know, I'm sober as well, coming up on five years this July. Thank you. Touring is actually easier. I was concerned that once I took the booze away, that I wouldn't enjoy it anymore. But that was silly. Turns out it's still the most important thing, the wind in my sails. And you don't get so worn out. Like normally, you know, you're out on the road and after about 3-4 days, you know, you're into kind of permanent brain fog and hangover. And then you got to kind of survive the next few weeks of tour. But now it's like I get up and I'm feeling fresh as a daisy. You know, I'm ready to go. So it's great. I'm so glad that's out of my life. It makes being in a touring band way, way easier.
Nice kitty cat in the back.
I recall her
name's Kitty.
I recall having beers with you guys, except you weren't having beers. You just stopped drinking. And on that same night, Joey told us that he was going to be a grandpa.
Yeah. He's grandpa times two now.
The times have changed.
Is your cat giant, or is that just the angle of the camera?
No, it's actually a very small cat.
Oh, it's so sweet. Hi, kitty, kitty.
Don't be fooled. She's a savage beast.
Just up the road from you, too, is Vadim, and you've started a new company. So both of you are going to be spending time in the mountains, but doing sort of different things. Talk to us about what you're doing with your company.
Well, we touched upon forest fires already, and I just graduated from Selkirk from GIS program here. So did my partner, and we're trying to focus on the environment. We're trying to focus on using drones for good, like, surveying, doing work for forestry, agriculture. The biggest thing is forest fires, of course. Like, we got this really, really cool drone. It's a vertical takeoff machine. It turns into a fixed wing, so it like goes up and away. It hangs in the air for about an hour. It can cover like 400 hectares on a flight. It has thermal payload, so you can see like hot spots where people are fighting fires. So just imagine, normally you would send out a helicopter out or a plane to do reconnaissance, but now you can just like drive up to the spot, shoot it up, land it, like know exactly your situation, like send the team out, fight the fire. It's more environmentally sustainable. It's quicker. It's new, right? Drones are cool, man.
You'll put guys like me out of work, guys who find hot spots with our noses. It's here. It's somewhere. It's somewhere. I've been known to be like on my hands and knees with using the back of my hand trying to find where it is. All in a day's work. But that sounds really, really interesting. So like how many drones are you actually operating?
Well, we have two in our fleet right now. So this Wingtra, big orange fixed wing drone, and just your regular DJI drones, just to do like quick reconnaissance mission. And then we just collect all this data, and then we process it and show people in like cool fancy maps. And drone imagery is the future, in my opinion.
Would it be possible to make a drone that has wind speed indicators and things like that, so that you could, you know, perhaps someday come with Brandon and I out to the prairies and fly a drone into a friggin' tornado?
I'm sure. Like, have you seen, what was the movie called about tornadoes where they built like those little round
Twister.
Things? Twister. Thank you.
It was all based on real ideas, that movie. And ideas which have since been many times done.
I don't know, though, like, if a drone itself will sustain its flight in a tornado, like the rotors will work, but then they're so light, it will just pick it up and, like, tear it to pieces. Like, nature is still crazy strong.
Yeah.
I think with reed timbers, they don't get torn to pieces. They just get thrown, and then sometimes they have a hard time discovering which field the drone has ended up in.
Yeah, which province.
So definitely that's one of the things they do. But I mean, that's a money, just putting that in your mind someday, if you want to develop a drone that can have wind speed indicators and things like that, air pressure indicators, the meteorological team could use something like that someday. And I'm not kidding. I'm not going to be fighting fires every summer for the rest of my life. My knees are getting old. I'm 42 years old. You and Mike should go up into the mountains and do something with the drones, man.
Oh, we're going to go ride bikes, right, Mike?
Yep. I'm doing cool. A bike trip pretty soon, riding from Nelson to Penticton. So we're going to do that on the rail, rail trail.
Just cool. On bicycle, on like analog.
Yeah, like with feet and pedals and stuff, yeah.
Oh, wow. I would do that on the e-bike. I don't know if you tried those things yet, but they're crazy cool.
I haven't, no. I, I'm a musician. I can barely afford inner tubes.
I hear you. Thank God for CERB for one more month.
No kidding. The first steady paycheck I've had in 20 years.
Well, the thing is, just when I feel like I'm getting ahead in life, I remember I get the letter in the mail that July 2nd is property tax day. And I'm one of the few musicians who ever was able to buy a place. Of course, I bought the cheapest, most rundown old place I could. And that's partly why I didn't have standards the way the city musicians did.
Do you guys know why?
Monica.
Yes. Why do they name hurricanes and they don't name tornadoes?
That's the way they are. Now the American Weather Channel named those winter storms.
I always thought it was kind of sexist that they call it a hurricane.
It took me a second to get it.
And over in the Western Pacific, they call it typhoons. And in the Eastern Pacific, they call it hurricanes. In the Southern Hemisphere, they call it tropical cyclones.
Tell us more, Frankie.
Tropical cyclone season. That's Southern Hemisphere summer. They call it cyclones in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Mauritius, and La Reunion Islands during Southern Hemisphere summer. Right now, it's winter time in Southern Hemisphere.
Hey, Sky, what kind of people have you been having on your show lately? Tell us about your show. Tell everyone about your show. Maybe there's some people here you want to drag onto it.
Well, I've been doing it on my own for a little while. I used to have guests all the time and things like that, but then it just kind of changed and I've just been going on and jamming because I've been live streaming for 7 years, which is, I guess, a long time. And then when the coronavirus came along, I started my show because I have spinal damage. So I was stuck at home and I started my show. And then when the lockdown happened, everyone went online and did their shows. So I kind of ran out of steam to have guests and pretend to be Dave Letterman and everything. So now I just kind of go on and play jazz, funk, and fusion and stuff like that.
Do you have a weather song for us this week, a heat wave song?
Well, Frankie and I made a song about, not a weather song, but I started my show and I started live looping because of a Massive Attack song called Weather Storm. I don't know if you've ever heard of the song. Weather Storm by Massive Attack, a very famous band from UK, London. So I have a version of that. And Frankie and I did a song together called Coronavirus Blues. It's on YouTube. You just have to
Get the helicopter and a drugstore and everything.
Frankie is hilarious. He came up with all these jokes and stuff. And it was amazing. Frankie wrote the song and I did the music. So Coronavirus Blues.
The helicopter at the drugstore and go, the sergeant will be screaming.
You have a version available for us?
You mean to play it right now? Yeah, I could actually play it to you immediately. It's not hard for me to find. I just need to click a few buttons. It's a song about Frankie predicted the future. Before the George Floyd thing happened, Frankie said that in the streets of America, there would be police everywhere and tanks. And he was right. And basically, you know, he predicted the future. So we wrote a silly little song. Do you want me to play a clip of it? Or you want me to play a clip of it, Joey?
Absolutely.
Okay, here you go. I'll play like 30 seconds. Here's the beginning of Coronavirus Blues by Frankie MacDonald and Bass Guy.
I wrote the song Coronavirus Blues. It is by Bass Guy Show and Frankie MacDonald. Here, well, that, just imagine if they found a drug or treatment for COVID-19, like remdesivir, well, if they found it, if it works great.
So I'm going to stop it there, but it goes into a blues song and Frankie's laughing so much he can't even speak, and Frankie's laughter gives me life. So.
And they have to have a helicopter on the roof of the drugstore. Sergeant will be screaming.
That's right, Frankie. And I'd like to say hello to Pete and Monica, kind of friends of mine. Hello, guys. Hope you're doing well. And it was really nice to meet everybody. And thanks for having me.
Scott, you met Monica at my book launch in 2018. Basically, you drove all the way to Sydney from Montreal. You met Monica.
Yes. So it's always nice to see you, Jack. Really nice guy.
Sounds like a lovely trip. When coronavirus is over, people are going to go on trips again.
Joey, I have my first gig in over 2 years coming up. So I'm really excited.
I actually booked one for next year, and they contacted me, and it's a soft seat theater. I'm not interested in playing bars anymore. I'm a dad and I'm sober. But a soft seat theater, put the kind of money at me that would make me go drive to Soyuz and do it. Mike, do you have a weather song? Can you play us a song?
I'm afraid I don't have any weather topical songs. You guys really know your weather. I'm like the weather. It's like if it's wet, it's raining. If it's white, it's snowing. If it's hot, it's hot out. And if it's cold, it's cold out. That's about as much weather as I know.
But you spend enough time in the mountains, you must have some sense as to what's going on around you, because there's just no way you can endure being up there if you don't know what's happening around you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, in all seriousness, yeah. I mean, I always look at the forecast, kind of make sure what it's loosely going to do. But the thing with the mountains is they don't always listen to the forecast. They can change what they're going to do without telling anyone about it. So you got to be careful in the mountains, for sure. Watch out for thunderheads and things like that coming in, and get off the peaks quick when you start recognizing some signs of bad weather coming.
I've been up there when it gets electric.
I'm traveling to Miami next month. Is it already July? No, it's not July yet. I'll lose the track of time here. But
it's July 2020, I think.
No, it's 2021, dude. Anyway, I'll enjoy the lovely weather in Miami for y'all. So I don't know if the borders are open, but we'll be open by then for Canada. But
well, that's actually one of the lightning hot spots of the world down in that area of Florida. So you ready for
lightning? Sure, reminds me, the other day, Frankie, you're running in the rain. You're talking about finding the tree. There's lightning strikes trees.
I need a tree. It's raining on. I need a tree right away. I need a tree. It's raining on. I need a tree. I need a tree. I need a tree. It's raining really hard now. I need a tree. I need a tree. It's raining out. I absolutely need a tree. Trees. I need a tree. It's raining out. I need a tree. Rain's getting hard. I need a tree. I need a tree. I'm freaking down.
Everybody should be prepared not to. Is that one of the things you recommend, is not standing under a tree during the lightning storm, Frankie?
It wasn't a lightning storm, though, was it, Frankie?
There was lightning no storm lightning. Can strike people, that can kill people and things like that. That can take people out and animals and things like that. That's why they have to protect people, animals, wildlife.
Yes.
But it wasn't a thunderstorm that day you made that video, was it, Frankie? It was just raining.
It was just raining. So, I need a tree that was just raining in Sydney, Nova Scotia.
I'm going to put that clip in. I need a tree.
Funny thing is, he always has his umbrella with him. Always. So that was brilliant.
Weather is unpredictable. I made that video. I need a tree.
That was awesome, Frankie. Oh, you always come up with new ideas. I love it. You never run out of ideas.
Who's got a good thunderstorm story?
That means thunderstorms can bring large hail. And some, if Ben Campbell, the designer of Franco Action Figures, his windshield got smashed by hailstones in a truck.
I have a little recent thunderstorm story that won't take long. It was here in Quebec, and it was actually in Montreal, and it was about 1 mile from my house at 3 a.m. I happened to be up, and I was looking out the window, because that's what I do. And this one single lightning bolt hit the ground, and there was, I don't know too much about weather, but there was kind of like a ceiling of atmosphere, and the lightning bolt hit, and it ricocheted, and it was a phenomena of like the loudest sound ever, and it shook my cheeks. My cheeks were wobbling, and the curtains, like the wind, and it was all over the news the next day, so... I don't know what that is. Do you guys know, weather people?
It wobbling cheeks.
There was a ceiling of atmosphere of heat, and it acted as a ceiling. So when the lightning hit, the sound ricocheted towards the ceiling of the clouds and the ground and went up and down and up and down. And the one single thunderbolt lasted like 3 minutes long.
That's crazy.
What?
Did it shake both your sets of cheeks?
Yeah, just like in a movie, my cheeks were moving. I don't have hair, but the curtains were moving. It was like an explosion, and there was a actual physical like blast that went through me, you know, and through everything. It was scary. So that happened a few months ago in Montreal, if you look it up on the internet.
Seeing as we have some time, tornado safety. What should you do if there's a tornado?
Wear a helmet.
Wear a helmet's a good one.
Go in the basement.
Basement, yes.
Small interior room.
Small interior room. bathroom or closet? What should you stay away from in your house?
Get in the car and drive very fast or far away from that tornado.
What should you stay away from in your house?
The bathtub? Or is that the opposite?
I think you go in the bathtub and put something over you, or you go underneath the door frame, right? Is that the deal?
Door frame is for earthquake.
Oh, okay.
But what's up with the bathtub? I've been hearing this bathtub thing since the last tornado. What?
It's very stable. It's very... That part of your house is very stable, and the bathtub itself is very stable. So it's probably the one section of the house that tends to survive if the house isn't totally like ripped off its foundations. What you also want to make sure you do, though, is stay far away from windows as possible, right? So being in the bathroom is generally a place without much for windows as well, right? Because when debris and tree branches come flying through the windows, if you're on the road, what should you do?
Underneath a viaduct. Go in the ditch.
I would agree.
Crawl into a hole.
Your vehicle is one of the least safe places to be, which is ironic because for lightning's sake, it's one of the safest places to be. But the difference between lightning and tornadoes is that you can see a tornado coming. You can't necessarily see lightning coming. So you do want to make sure that if you're out in the prairies, you have a good idea of when it's time to make. But I've definitely been out chasing tornado near High River, Alberta, Nanton, Alberta. And I had to go to the bathroom so bad, but there was so much lightning striking everywhere around. So I stayed in the vehicle. Protect your noggin.
Is it true that if your window is open in the vehicle, it's dangerous? You're only safe if you close your window and keep it closed?
Well, I think you'd want to have your window closed just to have the less chance of debris hitting you, right? Small projectiles. So if you have your window open, things are just going to fly right through your window. But definitely, if you're getting that close that debris is hitting you, you need to be out of that vehicle because, unless you've got a good run on it and you can get it out of the way.
I was talking about lightning.
Oh, with lightning. With lightning,
you're
the
not
thing
safe
is,
in your vehicle if your window is open.
I wouldn't think that's true, no. So the lightning, your vehicle acted like a Faraday cage. Does everyone know who Michael Faraday was? Michael Faraday was the scientist who made this electrical cage, and you could stand in it. And the electricity would pass around you and you wouldn't get shocked by it, right? So your vehicle will act as a Faraday cage and the lightning will go somewhere out. The tires don't make a difference. It's the metal frame around you. So you don't want to be touching the metal of your vehicle. If you're touching the metal, you're going to get that shock. But most vehicles these days, you have no contact with the metal, really, if you're just sitting in the car normally.
Do you know that the Ford...
What are some signs of heat stroke?
Hallucination. Yellow pee.
Oh, yes. Good one.
Perhaps. Nausea. Yes. Nausea and vomiting. Yes.
Diarrhea.
I don't necessarily believe so.
You probably, after a heat stroke is too bad, probably start hallucinating, tripping.
At what temperature would your body be if you're starting to get heat stroke?
I lost a cousin last summer from heat stroke in Montreal.
40 degrees Celsius. I'm sorry to hear that, Monica. It's very dangerous. And so heat stroke is different than heat exhaustion. A lot of people will say to you, I think I have heat stroke. Well, no, heat stroke is a debilitating and serious life-threatening condition, which requires immediate attention. Whereas heat exhaustion is the stage you're going to go through before you get to heat stroke, right? So that may mean that you'll have altered mental behavior. You might see that someone with you is starting to lose sort of touch on what is real or not real or what's going on, or a confused state. Or you might even notice that someone's having a change in their sweating. If you get to a point where you're so hot, some people will stop sweating at that point and your body's going into shock, of course. Brandon did mention nausea and vomiting is also a good example of this, right? And of course, once it gets to that point, it's very terrible because you need to get more fluid into the body and the person is vomiting. So you're going to have to hook them to an IV perhaps to get enough fluid into them. Flushed skin, for example. So I'm a first aid level 3. So these are the things I have to keep in mind as I go fighting fire. These are some of the things that I'm going to have probably be dealing with. So a racing heartbeat, you put that pulse oximeter on someone's finger and their heartbeat's going 110. That's very, very bad. And of course, headache's always going to be an early sign of dehydration. So I want all listeners out there in Prince George and Winnipeg and everybody on the YouTube channel, please do subscribe to Joey Only, the Caribou Weather Dude, and hear new episodes of the Meteorological Report every Friday morning. And then Saturday at 10 a.m. on Prince George, you hear us at cfer.ca. That's at 88.7 FM in Prince George. And then, of course, CKUW Monday at noon in Winnipeg, 95.9. We're so happy to have you all. Last words, everybody. Vadim, can you tell everybody about your company, how to find it online.
Hey, Joey, thank you for having me today. We're called Above Sensing, and it's abovesensing.ca. You can find us on all the social media, Above Sensing. Come check it out. It's pretty cool stuff.
I will. Mike Hodsall, your live performance is streaming. So people hear this on Prince George on Saturday will still have a chance on Saturday and Sunday. Is that correct to catch the show?
Yeah, that's right. It runs, it's available from, I think from Friday evening around 7 right through till I think midnight on Sunday. You just got to buy a ticket and support some musicians and watch the show.
I might just do that because I'll be here with the kids this weekend and they love punk rock.
Good kids.
I raised them right. You know it. Bass Guy, how do people find your show? Tell us about your show in Montreal.
I have an internet show and currently I'm live every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Montreal time. And my website is bassguyshow.com, as in bass, the guitar, so not the fish, bassguyshow.com.
Frankie McDonald, you got your new LinkedIn, but we love it when you tell us all your sites anyways.
My link tree is Frankie McDonald.
That's the first.
So if you want to find Frankie McDonald now, you just got to go to his link tree because he's no longer spouting
professional.
Yeah, that was the best though. We love when you spout out all your different sites, Frankie.
All my links to my websites is merged into my link tree.
I like it. What's going on for you this week, Frankie? You're going to be on Gary Andino again, and yes. Of course, El Nino's Tornado Hunters next week.
Yes.
Then I'll see you on both shows.
Bass Guy, you'll be a guest on Tornado Hunters podcast if you're not busy. Bass Guy, you'll be a guest on Tornado Hunters podcast.
Obje bardzo. That's perfect, Frankie.
So everybody out there, make sure you look up on the internet El Nino's Tornado Hunters.
You have to send Bass Guy Show's email address to Chris Chittick.
Okay. Look up Tornado Hunters. That's the El Nino's podcast with Chris Chittick and Nick the Body that Frankie and I are on often. And those are the guys from Discovery Channel, Tornado Hunters. Very sweet guys. And you've been listening to the Community Logic Report. I'm Joey Olney. Thanks for being part of the show. Good to see everybody on here. You're all such awesome humans, and you're all welcome on every week to come on, talk about weather in your life and everything that's going on. We'll see you next time, everybody.